Now I'd like to invite Wendy to come forward and we'll do a little discussing. So for those who are new, I do these dialogue sermons every so often as just a way to explore the scriptures in a different fashion. And they always lead to really fascinating places. And I love the people who become partners with me in this. So thank you, Wendy, for coming. Yep, you flip that forward. And so I thought the place to begin is many of us, even those of us who've gone to conferences, this faith-based community organizing, what exactly is community organizing? Which could go down the path of giving us an explanation. But yesterday you shared with us a wonderful story from when you were probably in your mid-20s about seeing what community organizing could be. And it had to do with a Christian center. And I'm wondering if you'd just share that with us as a way to begin.
Right. It had to do especially with the West Side neighborhood here in Pittsfield. So when I first moved to the Berkshires, there's a family here from Wisconsin. Yes, welcome to the Berkshires. I went to the University of Wisconsin in Madison, and I studied community leadership development, and when I graduated, I didn't do that thing that you're really supposed to do, which is you interview and find yourself a job and livelihood before you get the diploma. So here I am with I had a master's degree actually in community leadership development, but I didn't have a job, I didn't have any money. Luckily I had a car that I was able to get here. But my best friend from high school had settled in Pittsfield right after college, and she invited me to live with her for free for a while. It sounded like an offer I couldn't refuse. And that's how I came to the Berkshires. Then I fell in love with the Berkshires, and part of it was through my work. My first job was as a community organizer with a substance abuse prevention coalition. At that time, there was a lot of federal funding for these demonstration grants to talk about coalition building as a way of building community to prevent alcohol, tobacco, and other drug abuse. So that was my work. And I was assigned to Central Berkshire in particular, so Pittsfield and the towns that surrounded it. But this particular story happened in the West Side neighborhood. There was a gentleman there, his name of Joe Bennett, and he lived right on John Street, which if you know the neighborhood, it's right across from Pitt Park. And he said he had an 8-year-old boy and an 11-year-old boy, and he wouldn't allow his boys to play in that park because he could see drug deals happening there. And he said, I can sit in my living room and I can see drug deals happening while I'm sitting looking out my window. And so I'm not going to let my young boys play there. How ridiculous, I still remember his words, right? How ridiculous is that? That I live in this town and there's a beautiful green space and I won't allow my boys to play there. So he was mad about this. He was angry, and he went first of all to the mayor at the time. I believe it was Mayor Wachowski, and he was very angry, and he was telling his story and how terrible it was, and said, "What are you going to do about this, Mayor? What are you going to do about this? We can't have this in Pittsfield, and I can see it." And so there was an aide there at the mayor's office who knew about our work of the. This was brand new. Okay, not only this was a brand new coalition for substance abuse prevention. It was called the Berkshire Partnership to prevent alcohol and other drug abuse. And so the mayor's aide sent him to my office. And I'm about, I don't know, 24, 25 on the third floor of one of the houses in the neighborhood is where my office was. And sent this very angry man to me. And he again told his story to me. And I just listened to the pain and the fear for his young boys. And And after a while, there was a little lull, and I said to him, "Well, Mr. Bennett, are there other people in your neighborhood who are experiencing the same thing, who have kids who feel this way?" And he said, "Oh, yes, everybody does." So we went door to door, and we talked with all of the neighbors, and I'm going to try to make it a shorter story, but to get to the main point, which
yeah,
I... So we went door to door and talked with all of the neighbors and had set a date to have a meeting at the Christian Center in that neighborhood, and a couple of weeks forward, and in the meantime, we're really developing relationships with people on the streets, the four streets around where he lived and around Pitt Park. And when we had that meeting, it was packed. We may have been over the fire code. There was 100 people or so there at that meeting, and it was a lot of, it was very cathartic for people because there was this opportunity to, just vent their anger. So in the beginning of the meeting, that was a lot of what was happening, and a little edgy, right? A little scary, right? There was a lot of fear being expressed and a lot of anger. And then there was a moment in the meeting where it got a little quiet, and there was a young man who was maybe 16 or 17, and he was grounded. So his mother made him come, was why he was at the meeting. And he was sitting quietly in the corner and, working, I was watching him, and he was doing some of his homework, as his mother was probably told him to do. And I could tell he was listening. He was listening to what everyone was saying. And at that quiet moment, I think of this young man all the time and what bravery it took for him. He stood up and he said, "I've been listening to y'all, and you're all just complaining a whole lot. And it sounds like you're just really mad. And what you really care about is that, about us, right? Like, kids, us kids. And we can't even play in that park. Like, I heard a couple people say that. And it seems like that's what you're really caring about. So can't you do something about that? Why are you just yelling and complaining and all of that? It seems like there could be something that could happen." And then there was this moment where, this is interesting, it connects to the scriptures, because from the mouths of babes, right? Mm-hmm. The young man in the room was the one who really raised the, what in organizing we call cutting from a problem, drugs in our nation, our country, our world, to the issue of the kids can't play in the park. We can get a handle on that, right? So what happened in that moment, and this is where I fell in love with community organizing, and I fell in love with the Berkshires and this community and stayed here, but the neighbors and residents who were there at that meeting all of a sudden became, there was this moment of transformation from complaining and anger and fear to, I could be a referee, I could be a coach, I could be a scorekeeper, I could do some baked goods, and we could sell some baked goods at the games. And within a week or so, there were over 100 kids signed up for that summer sports league. And it actually went on for decades. So this was back in 1980, now I'm going to date myself. 89, maybe it was 90, 19, the summer of 1990. And it did go on literally for decades. I don't know if it's still there, but I know when I ran into some of the folks who were coaches at the time, now approaching retirement. But what's important about that story to me is the bravery that it took for that young man to speak up, and also that everyone's voice counts, that really having the openness to have everyone's voice heard. There are lots of other key elements of that story, but I want to get into our dialogue.
Yes, yes. Well, and I just hope you noticed it wasn't just the boy speaking up. It was Wendy listening to the angry man in the first place and then asking the question, do you think other people in your neighborhood are upset? And then going door to door. And so you created a structure, a container for his anger to do something with, and then taking the risk of getting well over 100 people into the Christian Center main room, which is small, and they're all angry, and so there's a lot of energy there, and you got to be willing to go with that tension, and, you know, I mean, is there going to be a fist fight, you know, and what's going to happen? And then you let the space, and then you're tuning into this kid who's there for, you know, other reasons. But like you said, that was immediately when you said that story yesterday, I thought of the passage about that infants. Because that infants isn't talking about little babies. Infants in the scriptures are part of, as I talked about last week, the marginalized, the ones on the edges, the widows, orphans, and outcasts, the ones who have no power. And so infants are the ones, you know, who are grounded and stuck in the corner doing their homework. But what they bring is they don't bring an agenda. You know, they're not part of the power structure, so they listen differently. And if someone will listen to them, a la the community organizer, and call them forward, and then everybody else listened, and all of a sudden all that smoke turned into a flame, not a flame of destruction, but a flame of creativity, and something, and then they kind of put on the yoke, and they created sports teams, and Pitt Park became a safe, creative place. Go away, drug dealers. Yeah, yeah.
And a really beautiful thing.
There it is. Yep, as long as it's green, it's good. Just have to hold it up close.
Or is it? Doesn't sound. Oh, there we go. There, yeah. Maybe I was holding it funny.
The battery gets old, yeah.
The beautiful thing about that also is that that park now is called Durant Park. And it was Reverend Will Durant and his wife, Rosemary. Were our hosts for that meeting.
And
for local people, I'll just throw that out.
And they were community organizers.
Very fitting.
Big time. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So I think you can sense some of why I enjoy working with Wendy. And then what I want to do is talk about doors of possibility. And that was one of them, you know, a door of possibility opened that nobody even knew was there until he stood up and spoke. Mm-hmm. And then they all went through it, and mm-hmm. something changed. And in the scriptures, things change. And the thing I'm intrigued with, in the terms of this doors of possibility, is looking like at this church, or our downtown churches. Because 50 years ago, these downtown churches, the main doors were those doors. And for those of you who were here 50 years ago, you can remember, people have told me there used to be two services here on Sunday morning, mostly pretty full. And so you could conceive that there were 500 people coming in here for worship on Sunday mornings, which was duplicated across the street and downtown and everywhere. As we know, that's not the case anymore. And so things, cultures change, lives change. So those doors are still critical. This space is still critical. But it's different. But the thing that intrigues me is every week through another set of doors at the rear entrance, what we call the rear entrance, but it's kind of in some ways become the main entrance for the church, the handicapped accessible entrance, 500 people come through those doors every week to receive food from the pantry. Now, when people come through these doors, they hear the Word of God, and we share in communion. When people come through the rear doors, they hear not directly the Word of God, but what is the Word of God? It's this Word coming from the divine that knits our lives together, helps us feel connected to something deeper and holy, and when our lives start to fray apart, that Word connects us again. And communion feeds us. People come through the rear entrance, and if you've ever been here on a Wednesday or Thursday, there are lots of words, lots of connecting. People are being supported and cared for, having a sense. Some of them come angry because of this, that, and the other, and Joey's got music playing outside, and there's this good humor, and people are talking, and they're sharing recipes, and they're talking about their kids, and somebody's just out of the hospital, and what happened here. So there's this same connecting going on. They're hearing a deep word, and the communion that happens is 10,000 pounds, at least, of food every week. And so there's symbolic communion, there's literal communion. And so that just intrigues me, as a theological reality. The other piece is the other door over here on the north side, which was totally unused for generations, has now been renovated and transformed because that's where all the food comes in, and a whole team of people bring that food in. And the door over here, which sometimes feels like it's falling off its hinges, is because there's so many groups coming in and out of the building, the AA, the NA, the Bridge Players, the Music Together, the Thrift Shop, all our committee meetings,
and bio-executive council meetings,
community meetings. And so in a way, historically, churches thought of this door as the spiritual entrance. And now in this building, that door, that door, that door, and that door are all being used. Mm-hmm. I find that intriguing. And so as a community organizer and as a Buddhist who can sort of in that Buddhist stepping back and observing way. Wendy, can you have any insight? What is Jesus doing with us?